Okay, so this morning we are going to talk about church as a family. My glasses will be on and off. I am that age. I'm all right with the big bits, but I can't do the Bible, so sorry, it'll be up and down. I'm going to start with a statement. The church is a family, joined, relational, loved, taken out of the world, adopted into a family that has boundaries. I'll read it again at the end. Something to think about. Okay, I'm going to talk first a little bit about church as a family for myself. So I grew up in a church. Some of you didn't. Some of you came to the church as an adult. But I grew up in a church. And it was a little Baptist church in King's Standing. Many of you know it. Emmanuel, Vic and Jen were down the road. King's Standing was down the road from us, the Emmanuel Church. And, you know, it was a really good time of my life. And I look back now, and I am so grateful for my church family. Now, some of you will have had similar experiences. Some of you will have had not similar experiences. I just want to say it was not the perfect church. I don't want to go into any details. It was not the perfect church. But I didn't know anything about that when I was growing up. I'll tell you what I knew. From the age of 4 to the age of 15, they were my friends. They were my family. They were my community. They were the people we went on holiday with. They were the people that used to come and have sleepovers, the people that had us over for sleepovers. You know, we were a family that was together. And our house became like the kids' hangout. Very grateful to my dad for creating a space where other kids and youth could just come. And we would regularly pull up on the drive and there'd be one waiting on the doorstep, ready to come in at whatever time of day. And, you know, that's the kind of home my dad created for us, so that church and family could become one. And church was family for us. In fact, the church even provided a home for us, because we didn't have a house for a period of time, and they gave us a church house. And we lived there for many, many years, and my dad eventually bought the house and still lives in it. You know, actually, they were a church that helped us and a church that cared. So that was my experience growing up. And that's a good experience to have had. And I'm really grateful for it. So I kind of speak out of that experience, because for me, church and family, the two words are one. So let's look at what the Bible has to say. We're going to start in Genesis. Have you got your Bibles? It's a bit wonky today. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Genesis 1? Let's start at the very beginning, shall we? It's a very good place to start. I won't sing it. You're all right. Good job Millie's not here. She'll be telling me off. Chapter 1, verse 1, this is the very start of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then I want you to jump to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So you see, right from the very, very beginning of the Bible, God, the Father, and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were together. They are relational. And then we jump forward to the beginning of the New Testament in John. And we read that Jesus was the Word. And he was there at the beginning of time, at the beginning of creation. Do you know, to me that blesses me that God is one. It's kind of hard to get your head around. I was trying to explain it to Daniel that God is one. And he was trying to ask me about, we were talking this week about Jesus being born and how that all works. And, you know, it's a lot to get your head round when you're little. And it's a lot to get your head round when you're big. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And they are relational. And you know, it says in Genesis a little bit further on, we were created in his image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, if you want to look it up. I won't read out all the scriptures because I'm going to mention a lot. You can write them if you want to. But he made us, people, in his image. So he made Adam. And I know Adam wouldn't have worn these, but it's a good representation. He made Adam. And he made all the animals. And then there comes a point in Genesis, and you could go home and read it, it's really great. There comes a point where God thinks, you know what? I don't want man to be on their own. So he creates Eve. Together. Sorry, I do like things. So Adam and Eve are together, together in the garden, together with God. It's amazing. Creation is amazing. Can you imagine? He's there naming all the animals. It's amazing. And God used to come and walk with Adam in the garden. He's a relational God. Adam's not on his own. He's got Eve and they've got God. It's family. And Adam and Eve have their own family further on. But something happens, doesn't it? And we'll talk a bit about that a bit later. But to begin with, Adam and Eve are together with God. So choices are made. Adam and Eve made choices, and those choices in the garden separated them. They were in the middle, they were with God in the garden, and they made choices to step away from God. They were disobedient. They did what God asked them not to do. And because of that, they had to be removed. It's a strange thing to get your head around, but you know, at that moment, everything shifted relationally. So Adam and Eve are outside the garden. Do you know, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are over 600 references to family. I didn't know this till I started looking. There's a lot of things you don't know till you start looking. But there are 600 references to different families, or family, or the family, in the Bible. Which says to me that God thinks family is really important. You know why? Because God thinks people are important. In Hosea 11, verse 1 to 4, let's turn to it. Hosea, the book in the Old Testament, chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. I'm just going to read it to you. In my Bible, it's called God's Love for Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, that was their gods, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize. It was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Do you know, I just love that. I love that chapter because it's the Old Testament. And it's talking about our loving Father. How he loved Adam and Eve's generations that followed. The people of Israel, the people that came after Adam and Eve. The Israelites. They were the family of God, and God clearly and dearly loved them, and he would call them back repeatedly, and they would go off, and they would come back, and they would go off, and that happened a lot in the Old Testament. But you know, God didn't change. God was the God of love in the beginning, and all the way through the Old Testament, he is still a God that is calling out to them relationally. It says there that he was teaching them, calling them, healing them, feeding them, taking off the yoke. You know, I think that's a God who loves. We think a lot in the Old Testament about the judgment of God, and we see that in the Old Testament. But he is still the God that loves, even through the judgments. He is love. And then I want to jump forward to maybe bits that we're more familiar with. I'm probably going to read probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The Father gave his Son so that we could have life, so that whoever believed in him would not perish, not die, but have life. Wow. That's amazing. So suddenly we've gone from this God who loves people, who was calling out to people all through history, to Jesus being given. Do you know that's an incredible act of love on God's part? That he chose to say, Jesus, will you go? And you know, Jesus knew what it would cost him. So he came. Closest I could get to Jesus sandals. We don't have them in our house. Jesus came. He came to earth because he loved us. He knew what it would cost him. But Jesus is a relational God who wants a relationship with people. And so he came. You know, if you read the New Testament, and I'll challenge you, if you haven't read one of the Gospels lately, go home this week and read one of the Gospels. And you will be amazed. As you read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read how Jesus loved people, cared for people, healed people, blessed people, listened to people, talked to people, prayed with people. You know, that it goes on and on and on. Jesus was all about people. And he was relational. It was the one. Sometimes he was on his own with someone. It was the two or three. It was the 12, his disciples. It was the crowd. It was the many. You know, Jesus was so relational with people. He was all about relationships. And yet there's something really significant to me. Not only was he all about relationships with people, but he was also all about his relationship with his Father. If you read it, you'll see these little verses, these little one-liners that says, and he took time to go and be alone, or he went to a solitary place to be alone with his Father. Because, you know, to be relational costs us. And we need to be with our Father. We need to receive from our Father in order to give to others. Because I don't know about you, but I have a limit of what I can give. And some days I do feel spent. And then I know I'm not where I should be. The days when I'm spent, because I've given and given and given to lots of ladies, because I do have a lot of coffee and I do drink, talk a lot, and I do spend a lot of time with a lot of people, and I love it. I absolutely love it. But the days when I'm spent are the days when I need to go home and spend time with my Father. And we all get there. We all have those days. And you know, the fact that Jesus was no different says that I need to be like it. If Jesus, who was the Son of God, but fully human, needed to spend time with his Father, so do I. I can't do it. Galatians 4 says this. You can turn if you want, but I will read it to you. It says, Galatians 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time came, God, our Father, sent his Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, that he, Jesus, might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And you'll know, many of you, that Abba Father is like saying Daddy God. You know, Catherine Ruinola is famous for it, isn't she? She stands there and she goes, my Daddy God. You know, that's the kind of intimacy we're talking about. Not a stern father, but a Daddy God who loves us. And that verse there picked up a really key phrase. It says, adoption as sons. And sons encompasses us girls, don't worry. Okay? We are adopted into the family of God. We can become children of God, adopted into his family. Romans 8, I won't read it all now, but it talks all about being adopted and being heirs of God. That's incredible. Just get your head around that. You know, we like to talk about being heirs. You know, people who are rich like to think about what they're going to give to their heirs when they're gone. But we are heirs of God. This is like way beyond inheriting some mansion. We'd all love that, wouldn't we? Oh, I've got some really rich relatives. I know some people who are kind of waiting. I shan't say who they are, but some people, they're not in the church, just somebody saying. Some people who are waiting for some family to drop this huge inheritance. They have all these plans of what might happen if it happens. But you know what? We are heirs of God. Thank you, Jill. Hallelujah. You know, we should get really, really excited, far more about any money we're ever going to get. Far more than any career, any job, any aspiration. We are heirs of God. It blows my mind when I think about who I am in Christ, who I am as his child, holy and dearly loved. It blows my mind. In fact, I don't think I fully understand it. And I don't think until I'm standing before him, face to face, that I will ever truly understand what it means to be holy and dearly loved as a child of God. But that's who we are. It's incredible. And you know, through Jesus, we can be reconnected with the Father. We have been. Those of us who've chosen Jesus, we have been reconnected with the Father through Jesus' death and his resurrection. So suddenly, those of us, just like Adam and Eve, that are on the edge, disconnected, become one with Jesus. Reconnected, together, family. No longer on the outside, no longer separated. We are together. As a family, it's incredibly powerful. I was trying to explain it to Dan about what it means to be a child of God. When you're seven, you have a lot of questions, and it's good. And, you know, to be family with God, just let that sink in. We are his family. We are his kids. And, you know, if you've ever had kids yourself, you know what a feeling there is, what a bond there is with having family. If you are a son or a daughter, you'll know what it is to have had a bond with your parents. Family is so important. We are loved. Loved beyond measure. You know, after the resurrection, after Jesus died and was resurrected, the disciples, his friends, they must have been feeling pretty bereft. But they continued to meet together. In between his death and his resurrection, they met together. And after his resurrection, after Jesus had come back to them and met with them and talked to them, they continued to meet together. They prayed together. They worshipped together. They ate together. They were family together. And then after Jesus goes to heaven, he doesn't leave us bereft. He didn't leave the church bereft. He left the Holy Spirit, who represents Christ to us, who is the Father, and brings the Father and reconnects us with Jesus. The Holy Spirit came so that we could be reconnected forever with Jesus. While we're on the earth. because Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Do you know, the more I think about it, the more I think it blows my mind. If I could understand what this really means, surely it would change how I think on a daily basis. And so the early church developed with people together, the disciples who told more people, who told more people, who told more people, and the church began. And the church began to grow. And the church has never stopped growing since. You know, statistics would like to tell you that it has. But the church of God is still growing today. His family is getting bigger and bigger because God loves people. If I asked you to bring something this morning, would you like to just come out and put them on our church table? I asked a few people to bring a pair of shoes they liked. And those who forgot, I've probably took their shoes off. Yay. And, you know, the reason I did that, thank you so much, is because I want you to see what church family looks like. Church family is different. We are all different. We are not the same. How incredibly boring it would be if you all wore a pair of shoes from Clarks like me because of comfort. It would be really boring, wouldn't it, if we were all the same. Church family is different. It's got men, it's got women, it's got boys, it's got girls, it's got youth, it's got old people. We are the family of God. It's messy. I don't particularly like shoes. It's messy. But you know what's really interesting about shoes? They remind me that we're on a journey together. We are not a stationary group of people that come and stay the same. You know, recently we've had quite a few people visiting, so we had the Maileys come, and it was so good to talk to them. They used to be here 10 years ago. 12 years ago, and they left about 5 or 6 years ago, didn't they? And they went to America. And they came back and they talked to us a lot about church now. And we talked a lot about how things had changed. And, you know, church never stays the same and it never stays still. Because if it does, it dies. If we don't grow, we will die. And that's not going to happen. We're not going to stop growing because Jesus is still at the very, very centre of us as a family. And you know, if Jesus isn't at the centre, we might as well just pack up and go home. Because there is no church without Jesus right at the centre. There is no church without the relational Lord Jesus at the very centre of who we are. I read a great quote and it says, "Healthy churches are built on Christ, not on the leaders." Healthy churches are built on Christ, not on us. Do you know that's a great weight off our shoulders? Healthy churches are built on Christ. We are his body. This is his church family. Together. Together. I just want you to take a little look for 10 seconds around the room. Just take a little look at your family. There's one thing about Warsaw. You ask them to take a look and they do. You ask them to talk and they really do. You know, we are a family together. These people in this room and those who are even not in this room but are still part of us are your family. You might look different. You might be from a different nation. You might be from a different culture. You might be a different generation. But it doesn't stop the heart connection that can happen in the family of God. You know, recently Tim had, what was his name, Tim? From India? Because I wasn't there. Z, Tim called him Z. From India. He was one of the Indian leaders that came, and Tim had 4 days with him because me and the kids were with my mom away. And actually, when I got back and looked at the relationship that had grown between the two of them, it blessed my heart. And I realized something again, afresh. You know, you can meet someone from the other side of the world who doesn't share your language, who doesn't share your culture, who doesn't eat your food, who doesn't look like you. But you're family because you share Christ. And there's a connection that can happen. You might meet someone once in a conference and there's a connection. You'll all know people that you've met and connected with instantly because they're kids of God and you're a kid of God. And there's just a connection between you that you just can't, you can't explain that. That's called God's family. That's what he does. He connects us because we are connected to him. That's why in Mark 12, verse 30, it says this. It says to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. We've heard this many, many times. And to love our neighbor, people, as ourselves. We love God first. We love God. And out of our love for God comes a love for people that we wouldn't have of ourselves. You know, out of our love for God comes a love for one another that we wouldn't have of ourselves ordinarily. You know, you probably wouldn't put yourself with a lot of people in this room ordinarily without Christ. Before you became a Christian, probably wouldn't have connected with everyone in this room. But there's a connection that comes when we are in Christ. And you know, right from the beginning of time, we were not created to be alone. Man was never alone because he had God. Even when it was just Adam on his own, he was never alone because he had God. But God decided to give him Eve, didn't he? But you know, it's really easy. In fact, I'll use my own shoes. It's really easy to do something. It's really easy to do this. And you know, there can be seasons of our lives where we can walk away a bit or be on the edge a bit, but it never stops us from being the family of God. Never stops us from being his family. And you know, there was a season in my life where I realized something. I had a really hard time. I won't go into it. Lots of you know what happened in my life previously. But there was a season where, I call it my island story now, where God showed me that I was an island. I was a Christian. I've been a Christian since I was 4. I was in the church. I was growing in the church. I was serving in the church. But in my heart, if I'm honest, I didn't need people. I needed Tim, but really beyond Tim, I didn't need people. Because I was actually quite strong, I thought. And I was quite independent. I'd always been that way, always been a bit feisty, you can ask my dad. Very strong, very willful, and very independent from the age of 4. And in many senses, that was a good thing because it got us through a really difficult period of time in our life. And it made me strong, and I was a fighter. And I've always been like that. And then I got ill and I lost it. After 3.5 years of being ill, I lost my fight. I felt like I was a jelly on the floor, if I'm really honest with you. And something really great happened in that time. The family of God came around me. They came to me. They prayed for me. They supported me, they loved me. They would ring me with words, and you know who you are. They would ring me with words, they would write letters, there were cards, there were flowers. There were times when I knew I was loved. And the love of that family got me well with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I felt back in. I was never out really, but I felt outside of it sometimes. And sometimes our feelings aren't always true. I never stopped being part of the family of God, but I was a bit of an island. And out of that situation, the Lord showed me I need people. I need him more than anything. And I still feel like that. Most days I need Jesus. I wake up needing him. I go to bed needing him. I don't think it's a bad place to be. I need Jesus. But I also need you. And I won't pick out people because it's just not fair. But I am so grateful for the people that God has placed alongside me to walk this walk, to do this journey together. I am not an island. I cannot be an island. I need you and you need me. And that's what it means to be a family. You know, you'll have been through situations in your own families where we need one another. And there are seasons where you feel completely alone. But actually, you are never completely alone. Firstly, because God is always with us. He has promised to never leave us. Jesus is still at the center of his church. He will never leave us. But also because we actually do have this family. And partly it's my responsibility to reach in. But it's also all of our collective responsibility to reach out. We are better together. We need one another. If you go home this week and read Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12, what time is it? I won't read it now. But there's a section there that talks about us being better together. That two are better than one. And three is even better. Go home and read it. It's, you know, it's an amazing thing that all the way through the Bible, God is saying people are better together. We are better with him. And you know, that's one of the reasons why for us small groups are so important. If you're not in a small group and you'd like to be, Matt, can you put your hand up? That's Matt Heaton with his hand up. If you're not in a small group and you want to be, see Matt, because we really feel like everyone can have a place together in a small group. Because we're family. Small groups are about being family. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. You know, in our small groups and together in the church, we grow together to become more like Christ. That's our aim. We nurture, we disciple, we care, we encourage. We protect, we build up. And you know, when it's tough and people challenge us because they're different to us or they rub us up the wrong way, because it will happen, okay? Church isn't perfect. We are not perfect. We're not. If we offend you or you offend one another, you know, like any family, we need to forgive and we need to move on. It might take time when it's a big offense. But we are family, and the Lord loves for his love to be amongst us. And, you know, we can't hold on to stuff. Dave Hawker used to have a picture, used to say it all the time about holding on to unforgiveness is like holding on to barbed wire, and the person it's hurting is you. And I'll never forget that, and we can all do it. But the Lord is saying, you know, put aside, forgive, protect, cover, love covers. And there's another aspect of this, just before I finish, that I really want to say, to challenge us with. We should never be exclusive. We should never think that that's it. That's it. We need to be the kind of church that has so much room for so many more pairs of shoes. The kind of church that whether they come in grubby or they come in a nice pair of stiletto heels from Prada, there's room on our table. There's room in our family for more. There's room because God loves people. You know, there's something that Vic always used to say, and he still says it. The Father has a family. That's us. The family has a business. The family business is people. You know, there's a whole world of people around you, in your life, in town, at work, in your family, who do not know Jesus, who do not know what it's like to be part of a family that actually loves and cares. and they've never known. But they've grown up with the same need of Jesus that we had, because God created us to be relational. He did not create us to be islands on our own. He created us with a hole inside us, in our soul, to be connected to him. But if we never tell them, they'll never know. If we never open our arms to them, if we never love them, if we never do good to people or pray for people, they'll never know. And they'll never come into that place that's just for them. Because God loves people. God is passionate about people, way beyond anything that I am. And that's why connecting with him is so important, because he can give me a love for people that I don't have of myself. We are God's family. I'm going to read that quote that I read at the beginning. The church is a family, joined, relational, loved, taken out of the world, adopted into his family that has boundaries. I just want to challenge us, if we just close our eyes for a minute, I just want us to think for a moment. Just think for a moment about our own place in this family. This beautiful family of Walsall Community Church that God has given us. Am I on the edge or am I rooted in? And what am I going to do about that? You know, the Father loves us passionately and wants us to be rooted in. Secondly, how do I treat others in God's family? How do I live in relationship with one another? How do we do that? Do I reflect Christ when I talk to others? Am I an imitator of God? Am I becoming more Christ-like? And the last thing I want us to think about is, am I open for this family to grow? For there to be messy shoes on the table? For it to be chaotic and a bit messy at times? Have I made room? Do I make room for new people? Father, I just want to thank you that you love your family, that you love us, that you love people. I thank you that your family is growing all around the world, and we are a part of that family. And it's so exciting, God, to be part of your family, to be adopted as your children. And I pray that you will, over this week, speak to our hearts about what it means to really connect as family, what it really means to be together on the journey, what it really means to be reaching out to those around us, to be loving others and making room for the many, many people that you want to bring into this family. And Lord, where our feet go, we are representations of your kingdom. Where we walk this week into work, into school, into college, into town. Where we walk as your family into the lives of people and we leave an imprint on their lives. I pray, Jesus, that you would flow through us into the lives of people, that our words would encourage and lift up and build up. And that we would be a living and breathing representation of your family on the earth. A family that represents you. That imitates you, Christ. Thank you for this time. Thank you for being amongst us. And thank you, Father, for your family. Thank you that we are here together in Walsall. And what a privilege that is to be together in your family. We don't take that for granted, Lord. We are incredibly grateful for Jesus, who connects us. In Jesus' name, amen.